I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. If you're thinking about it, chances are we're talking about it on WHYY's Radio Times.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
And welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Dave Davies of the Philadelphia Daily News, sitting in for Marty Moss-Cohen. This was a momentous week in the history of gun violence in Philadelphia. It began Sunday with the shooting death of a 5-year-old girl. Then on Tuesday and Wednesday, members of the State House in Harrisburg were compelled to debate gun control and other anti-violence measures long sought by Philadelphia lawmakers. The session was the result of determined action by State Representative Dwight Evans, who was prepared to delay action on the state budget several months ago if he didn't at least get a hearing on some anti-violence bills stuck in committee. The result was this week's session at which the legislature would debate and take non-binding straw votes on a wide variety of measures. Among the most controversial is the proposal to limit handgun purchases to one per month to try and stem the flow of firearms to criminals. But there were proposals for more cops and tougher sentences, as well as funding for more prison space, parole officers, town watch programs, youth mentoring, and truancy patrols. Angry Philadelphians came by the busload to demand change. Some activists walked to Harrisburg to dramatize the issue. And the results for advocates of gun control were discouraging. While lawmakers liked Speaker John Purcell's plan to fund more police officers, they ignored calls for gun control. In fact, they voted instead for a measure broadening your rights to shoot when you feel threatened. But something a little different happened this time. Besides the contingent from Philadelphia, mayors from Allentown, Bethlehem, York, Scranton, Lancaster, Reading, and Williamsport joined the call for gun restraint, leaving the Philadelphia Pilgrims with some hope that they can broaden their movement. We're going to be talking this morning about whether the state legislature can help reduce violent crime in Philadelphia and throughout the Commonwealth. In the last segment of the show, we're going to open the phones and invite your thoughts on the subject. A little bit later, we'll hear from Mayor Mary Wolfe of Williamsport, a Republican, and one of 10 mayors who joined the anti-violence rally in Harrisburg Tuesday. And we'll talk to State Representative Jeff Pyle from Indiana and Armstrong counties in western Pennsylvania. He opposes gun control efforts. But first, we're going to turn to Brad Bumstead. He is a veteran Harrisburg correspondent for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He's covered the state capitol for 23 years. Brad Bumstead, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Dave.
Morning. You know, I understand that you had a knee problem and weren't able to attend all of the activities in Harrisburg on Tuesday, but you have been in Harrisburg for a long time and seen a lot of demonstrations and a lot of legislative initiatives come through. You know, this was a big deal for a lot of Philadelphians. It was talked about a lot for the past month, and the front page of the Daily News the day after this was a picture of a rally on the Capitol steps with the big headline, "Is anybody listening?" Are they? Was this an extraordinary day in Harrisburg or just another day at the office?
It was extraordinary only to the extent that the Committee of the Whole is a rarely used procedure, and this was only the second time in recent history that it's been used. This Committee of the Whole, as you described earlier, of course, is a session where there are non-binding votes. Nothing that passes there is on its way to becoming law. It's merely a show of support for something that then could be taken up in regular session. But I can see why this is a huge issue in Philadelphia, and it's extremely important. There's no question about it. But I get the sense in the rest of the state here and in Pittsburgh that this is not that big of an issue. I mean, in terms of the play in the media, the consideration of this issue, and part of the reason for that is just probably the degree and the heightened crime rate that you have there compared to the rest of the state. Not to say that other medium-sized cities don't have crime problems; they do. But the extent to which this is an issue is exacerbated in Philadelphia.
Well, and I guess that, part of Dwight Evans' point was we have to start somewhere, and he understands, as we all do, that there are a lot of gun owners in a lot of rural parts of Pennsylvania, and that this is the state with the largest National Rifle Association membership in the country, so that there's a lot of reluctance to consider gun controls. And I think people here think that there are things to do besides gun control, including getting more cops. But I guess the feeling was, if you at least talk about it, maybe people begin to think of it a little bit differently. Is it your impression that in the 2 days of debate, anybody moved?
My impression is that they did not.
Okay.
Representative Sam Smith, who, of course, is the House Majority Leader, concluded his remarks in the second day of the Committee of the Whole yesterday by saying what's needed is sentencing prevention and enforcement. And that's another way of saying that existing laws are adequate to deal with gun violence, and we don't need more laws. We don't need gun control to deal with. And I don't believe that's been moved at all. I mean, this legislature, as long as I can remember, has accurately represented the culture of Pennsylvania, perhaps beyond Philadelphia, because of the gun ownership. It's a state where the first day of deer season is like a religious holiday. There are approximately 8 million guns in circulation in Pennsylvania, according to a guy I heard on PCN last night from the National Rifle Association. There are supposedly about 1 million, deer hunters, I believe is the figure, licensed in Pennsylvania. So these are big numbers, and it's part of the culture. It's part of family to go to hunting cabins. And you can say, what's that have to do with handguns or guns used in the street? Well, in a way, nothing, but the view is don't touch guns, don't have any laws at all that limit them. And I think that is a prevailing view in a large part of the state, not of your reps, but elsewhere.
And that infects and infests Democrats as well as Republicans. For example, Bill DeWeese, the leading Democrat in the House, right?
It does. And, I mean, if you look at Western Pennsylvania Democrats, rural Democrats from outside of Pittsburgh, the counties around Pittsburgh, they're as much advocates of gun control as some of the Republicans. So this is not the opposition to gun control in this state is not a right wing crazies kind of thing as some gun control proponents would probably like to portray. These are pretty much mainstream legislators, DNR.
One of the things we mentioned in the introduction was that there were other mayors. I think everybody in Philadelphia realizes that if this becomes a Philadelphia versus the rest of the state issue, then Philadelphia can kiss its chances goodbye. But as part of the effort here, there were other mayors. Michael Bloomberg of New York got most of the attention. But as I mentioned in the intro, there were also mayors from Allentown, Bethlehem, York, Scranton, Lancaster, Reading, Williamsport. Do you think that makes any difference?
It certainly helps. I mean, I think it adds some weight to the argument that Philadelphia lawmakers are making, and there are a lot of Democratic legislators in those cities you just mentioned, and perhaps that will add to the numbers. But when it comes down to the flashpoint in this whole debate is, as you pointed out before, the one handgun per month legislation, and I just don't see that passing in this legislature now or next session. Now, that's not to say that Dwight Evans' effort is wasted on this. To his credit, he got this together and got the House talking about something that they really didn't want to talk about, and in a high-profile sort of way. But there are going to be other measures that come out of this, the anti-crime measures, that probably, will win support in the not only the House, but maybe the Senate. I mean, I think that there are some things that move through. Now, whether, new laws per se help deal with the situation in Philadelphia, I'm not sure. I mean, you know the situation there. If there are no limitations on gun control, what other measures would really help, do people believe? The 10,000 cops, Purcell's bill, is that viewed as something that's really significant?
Yeah, I think that most people here see, that the one gun a month and other efforts to track and control the spread of guns as part of a package which has a major law enforcement component too.
Right.
I think that's probably the mainstream view here. I just want to reintroduce you. We're speaking with Brad Bumstead. He is a veteran Harrisburg correspondent from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and we're talking about the efforts by Philadelphia and lawmakers from some other areas to secure passage of gun control and other anti-violence measures in Harrisburg. They were debated on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. And as I mentioned, later in the last third of the show, we're going to open our lines and let our listeners offer their thoughts on this issue. The number is 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Well, Brad Bumstead, among the mayors not in attendance there supporting this was the mayor of Pittsburgh. He is, of course, young and new, Luke Raventhal. Bob O'Connor, the previous mayor, died, I guess, last month. Is this an issue in Pittsburgh?
Well, it is in the city of Pittsburgh to some extent. There was a dramatic incident recently involving Duquesne University basketball players. I mean, I think within the city, it is definitely viewed as an issue, but not to the same extent that it is in Philadelphia. And you know, I mean, the city of Pittsburgh is the hub, the focal point of Western Pennsylvania. But you know, the majority of the population lives outside the city of Pittsburgh, and that's where they are not enamored of gun control legislation.
The one of the measures which did pass again in these non-binding straw votes in this House session on Tuesday was a measure which, in effect, expands the right of people to defend themselves with firearms. I mean, from it was always legal in your house if you felt threatened to open up on somebody. This sort of broadened that idea to if you're in your car or business and feel seriously threatened. Were they sending a message to gun control advocates?
I don't know about that. I'm not really sure. I think they're trying to send a message to criminals, basically. You know, if you you mess with me, you try to assail me in my car or wherever, I've got the right to blow you away. That's what I hear out of that more than any kind of message to proponents, advocates in the debate.
So they just mean it, that self-defense is the best bulwark against crime.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that was sponsored by a Republican member, Capelli, and has some broad-based support, I think, among, people who would be gun control opponents.
You know, Brad, the view you're giving us of the cold reception that any type of gun control gets in Harrisburg is familiar to folks who've been on this issue. And those who find a ray of hope in this week's events point out that a lot of Harrisburg veterans also poo-pooed the idea that the pay raise, which lawmakers passed year before last, or I guess last year, would have engendered the kind of opposition that might have led to its repeal or the actual defeat of members of the legislature. In other words, sometimes you can miss a groundswell. Sometimes there's things can happen which those who are, you know, used to things being the way they are can miss. What about that argument? Is there a chance that another earthquake could be building on this issue?
There's always a chance, Dave. I agree with the people who say, you know, don't just because things have been a certain way, don't expect that they're always going to be that way. And, you know, I'd be the first person as a student of the Pennsylvania General Assembly and covering it for more than two decades to say that, you know, what you think is going to happen isn't necessarily what's going to happen, that, you know, things do change and you miss trends and you miss things that come up and it's not always the same. So, you know, they're right. They have an argument there. I don't particularly buy, you know, any correlation. I know they're not making it directly, but, you know, to something like the pay raise, I mean, I think that this is different.
That's widespread and visceral, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. And you know, but still, it's possible, you know, certainly that there could be some groundswell. But I'll be honest with you, I don't see it.
Okay, Brett, just a few seconds left. This proposal by John Purzell to get state funding for more police officers, does that look like it's going to fly?
Yeah, that has some support. I think it's going to fly in a reduced way. I think it might be reduced instead of 10,000 cops, maybe 5,000 cops, cut it in half. But I'm sure John Purzell, a smart politician that he is, when he put this in, put in some really high numbers, figuring it's going to be bargained down. But I think that's something that does have support.
Okay, Brad. We're going to have to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us. Brad Bumstead, a veteran Harrisburg correspondent for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. We'll be right back.
Senior Horizons, a non-denominational program of Jewish Family and Children's Service, supports WHYY. Are you concerned about an older loved one who's confused about his or her medication, who's no longer safe at home? Have you noticed forgetfulness or a resistance to help? Senior Horizons provides solutions that help older adults live safely and independently. Senior Horizons offers geriatric life care management across the Delaware Valley by licensed caring professionals. 215-567-3631 or seniorhorizons.org.
Next time on Symphony Cast, two musical powerhouses get together in the city of brotherly love. Simon Rattle leads the Philadelphia Orchestra in songs by Mussorgsky and the Fourth Symphony by Johannes Brahms. I'm Korva Coleman. Join me for Symphony Cast from NPR, National Public Radio. Sunday night at 10 on WHYY 91 FM.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. A new session of the Supreme Court opens next week. We'll look at a few of the items on the agenda. Also, a trip to China inspires alto sax man Kenny Garrett. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
And welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Dave Davies in for Marty Moscone. And this morning we're talking about efforts to get state legislation to control guns and other steps that might stem the violence in Philadelphia and other communities. There was a major rally and debate in the state's House of Representatives Tuesday and Wednesday. In the third section of our show, at about 10:40, we're going to be asking you to join the conversation. We're going to open the lines and get views of our callers. The number is 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Joining us next, though, is Mary Wolfe. She is one of 10 mayors who rallied in Harrisburg on Tuesday to urge lawmakers to pass some stricter limits on guns. Mary Wolfe is a Republican mayor of Williamsport, Pennsylvania, located in north central Pennsylvania with a population of about 35,000. It is widely known to many as the birthplace of Little League baseball and the home every year of the Little League World Series. Mayor Wolfe, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Why did you attend this rally on Tuesday?
For two reasons. One, I'm a member of the board of the Pennsylvania League of Cities and Municipalities and the Republican legislative co-chair. So I needed to do that in that particular role. But more importantly, the second reason is my role as mayor of Williamsport, because I feel it is important for a mayor to stand up for causes that affect her or his community, and increased gun violence has certainly affected the city of Williamsport in the last 2 years.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I took office in 2004, and in 2005 we had two shootings but three homicides, and in 2006 we've had one shooting, one homicide, and that's something that doesn't usually happen in this community. And we have a police force of 51 uniformed officers, and we are trying to turn around our neighborhoods, but what we are faced with is ever-increasing drug trafficking, and the disputes that are occurring between drug dealers are being resolved with at least shots fired or people injured, and as we've seen, these two or three homicides. So that's why, to me, it's important. And the other thing is that so many times in Williamsport, as we look at our various investigations, we trace guns to other localities. We trace the perpetrators of the crimes to other localities. And many times it's to Philadelphia or to New Jersey. And when I talk with my other colleagues in the League of Cities, they experience the same problems, not just to Philadelphia, not just to New York. But it's a mobile problem. It's a large problem that whether you're in a big city or a small city or a medium-sized city, we as mayors have to come together and take a stand and advocate for things that will make a difference in our communities.
Well, I think, you know, advocates of change in Philadelphia are delighted to hear you say all that. But I'm interested in your perspective. I know you were listening to part of our conversation with Brad Bumstead and Arwella You know, the conventional wisdom that in Harrisburg, once you say gun control, the conversation is over and the answer is no. Do you see chances for change?
We have to continue to advocate for change. In my past life, I taught political science at Lycoming College, and I had a favorite phrase on public policy, which could be either a court decision or a program or a piece of law, is that it's whatever government chooses to do or not do. So the very reason that I was there was my choice to be there to try to join with others, influence the legislature that they need to do something. And what we are recommending they do is sort of multifold. One is the one gun per month legislation. The other piece was to enable local units of government to be able to enforce our own and enact our own local laws limiting use and possession of weapons. And the third thing is that we really want to see mandatory sentences for repeat offenders for these drug and violent crimes when they use guns in the commission of that crime.
You know, it's a lot of legislators in many parts of the state, of course, sincerely held convictions about gun control in the Second Amendment. But there's also the influence of a powerful gun lobby and the National Rifle Association. I'm wondering how your position is going to play for you politically. Is this costing you?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I listened to some voicemails on my phone this morning, and there was one gentleman that called in and said, I'm against any new firearm law. And that was his message. And, you know, that's a responsibility of whether it's the league or the folks in Philadelphia. But collectively, if we're trying to address crime, one of the things that we need as local administrators, if you will, is a way to either enact at our own level and enforce local laws limiting use and possession. And that could be everything from how they register a gun in a community to how shots are fired and what have you. And keep in mind, if just hearing the shots fired can disrupt a neighborhood, if we just continue to disrupt our neighborhoods, we cannot do economic development. We start on that slippery slope, and the tax rates go up, and we lose our cities. So we have, as I think I heard one of your comments, we have to start somewhere. And I think that was Dwight Evans. And I think it's appropriate to say, you know, one gun a month, that means one person can buy 12 a year. How is that harmful to them?
Does it matter, you think, that you and the other mayors of Allentown, Bethlehem, York, Scranton, are taking a stand on this issue?
I think it's very important that we take a stand. One reason is that it certainly demonstrates that it's, regardless of the city's size, we all face the same issue. Our numbers may be smaller in Williamsport than Philadelphia or York, but it's the same issue. The second thing is that this is not a partisan issue. It's not a Democrat or a Republican issue. It is a community issue. And that's what I mean about if we don't do something, it's going to be harder and harder to maintain our cities.
You know, I believe that Steve Capelli, the state representative who offered the measure in who is sponsoring a measure which sort of is characterized as the Stand Your Ground bill, one which would expand one's rights to defend themselves with a firearm,
right,
is a former mayor of Williamsport,
yes,
your own city, right?
Yes. And actually, when he became mayor, it was my first term on city council.
Huh. Now, have you talked to him about this issue? Can you guys converse about it?
Yes, we do. In fact, Mayor Capelli brought Representative Purzel to the city last Friday and convened a group of about 15 of us, whether it was as mayors or people from the judicial side of the Common Pleas Court or through the law enforcement side and community folks together. And collectively, we say there needs to be a comprehensive approach. It's more than just putting police on the street. It's more than just, increasing the sentences. It's more than improving social service programs. But that takes me right back to Dwight Evans. We have to start somewhere. And as far as the mayor goes, when I look at our police reports and what's going on, the use of guns in commission of crimes has increased. And just the fact that we went from no murders to several tells me that we've got to do something.
You know, those of us in Philadelphia often think of the rest of the state as seeing us as Sodom and Gomorrah. And when a busloads of Philadelphians assemble on the steps of the Capitol, and to be frank about it, are often a different color from many of those who sit in lawmakers' benches, one sometimes gets the sense that people just see us as, you know, people they don't want to hear from. I'm just interested in your perspective on this. Is this seen as a Philadelphia issue, and is that a problem?
Well, I don't think it should be. And yet I know that people in our community will say, oh, send them all back to Philadelphia. That's where they came from. And that's where, meaning the guns and the perpetrators of the crime. But if you talk to the other mayors, they're saying, well, they can just as easily come from other states or other communities. And we're a very mobile society, which means, again, we need to address this on a comprehensive basis. And I think Mayor Bloomberg really drove the point home, because he's talking about illegal guns, the straw purchases, our ability to trace the ancestry and ownership of guns. It's those things that are going to make a difference as well in terms of solving crimes and actually eventually preventing them.
Well, Mary Wolfe of Williamsport, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for asking me.
We're going to turn now to Jeff Pyle. He is a Republican state representative from Western Pennsylvania. He represents the 60th Legislative District, which covers parts of both Indiana and Armstrong counties. Do I have that right, Jeff Pyle?
You sure do. Thank you, Dave.
And we're happy to have you with us. And I want to remind our listeners that in a little bit, we're going to open up the phones and let you control the conversation. We want to hear what you think about efforts to stem violence, gun control, more cops, tougher sentences. What do you think should be done? Do you think that the legislature is doing enough? Is our governor active enough on this issue? Jeff Pyle, hang on. That was actually to my listeners. I'm going to give them the phone number, and then I'm turning right to you. The number for the listeners, 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Jeff Pyle, give me your perspective on the days of
events. Sure. I listened to Mayor Wolf, and I feel for the problems they're having in Williamsport, but I heard her use a couple of interesting phrases that I thought, it would be fair to respond and give the counterpoint here. I agree with her totally and with my colleagues from Philadelphia. We need to do something, all right? The crime wave that's sweeping Philly right now, it's breaking everybody's heart. And, having to interact with Representative John Myers on a daily basis, the representative whose son was kidnapped, something needs to be done. However, the way I approach this is a little bit different. What we're considering now is very dangerous ground. We're talking about voluntarily surrendering an integral part of the Bill of Rights. I'm not talking the Pennsylvania Bill of Rights. I'm talking the Bill of Rights, something that the framers of the Constitution felt was so in demand, a lot of them refused to sign the thing unless the Second Amendment was built into it. Now, does that really approach your question? No. Or is that doing something? No. I completely agree. And by the way, I'm a former mayor also, so it must be mayor's morning. Here in the West, our problem right now is we're a very rural area about 40 miles northeast of Pittsburgh, and we're seeing a proliferation, and it's unfair to call it a wave because it's much more than that than heroin. The gun crimes we experience are invariably linked to drug trafficking, okay? Do something, yeah. And I'm in total concurrence with Mayor Wolf. I am a big supporter of Speaker Purcell's 10,000 cops legislation. Having managed a small town that's struggling mightily with this drug problem, I could tell you the drug task forces, the hunters of these drug dealers, mostly out here, are comprised of off-duty municipal cops who are trying to pick up a few bucks on the weekend working for drug task force. However, in many of our small boroughs, we're finding that we don't have that pool of policemen anymore to draw from. In my past life, just as Mayor Wolf said, I was a public school teacher, okay, 13 years. And something I learned is when a kid fails the test, you don't blame the pen. It's the kid's fault. And similarly, guns are inanimate objects. How can you, put something on an inanimate object rather than somebody's behavior? And to that end, I think the way this discussion's going is what started out as anti-crime, which is a former mayor. I'm all about it. As a former mayor, yeah, let's combat crime, but let's get enough police out there. Let's give them the tools they need, and let's turn them loose.
Yeah, I think most of the reasonable people in Philadelphia see more cops and more other resources for the criminal justice system, including prison space and parole officers, as a part of the solution. But let me come back to what you said earlier about tampering with something as fundamental and precious as a basic constitutional right. Do you believe that the right to bear arms should be without restriction at all? I mean, sure.
Well, no, I don't, nor do we do that. In Pennsylvania,
I guess what I'm getting at is
and whatnot. Yeah, I was occasionally in harm's way. I have a concealed carry permit.
Right.
Okay. I also have a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old daughter that I got to worry about when I'm 200 miles away from home in Harrisburg. And frankly, and I've done a lot of reading on this, and it's mostly international. You find correlations. Take, for example, Australia. A few years ago, had a tragic schoolyard shooting. A guy opened up with illegal weapons and shot up a school. And as a result, the nation of Australia started a massive gun confiscation program. This is about 6-7 years ago. What we've seen happen in Australia since is crime rates are going through the roof.
Well, but fair enough. But, I mean, nobody's talking about confiscating guns, are they? I mean, you're talking about some restrictions on the ability to buy multiple guns, some increasing...
That's only part of the 150 bills we're reviewing right now.
Right, right. But I guess your position seems to be you don't want to consider anything that relates to guns because it sort of it deals directly with the Second Amendment. And my role here isn't to argue, but it just seems... We certainly accept certain restrictions on them. I mean, we don't let people buy... anti-tank weapons.
Right.
Isn't it a matter of what works?
Here's one of the crazy parts about guns. You'll find that if you look at the crime studies used in commission of crimes, guns, you'll find none of them are what one would consider an upscale or expensive or collectible fire piece. Most often they are throwaway 22s, that have already been regulated. Now, when you get into the Second Amendment, the way I approach it is it's just as precious as the right of a free press or the right of free speech or the right to worship as you please. What allows us to supersede federal law? And that's, it kind of goes into the local preemption stuff. Again, no, I don't live in Eastern PA, but I do have an eye on what's going on with... the crime that's happening out there, and it's breaking our hearts. Again, as a former small-town mayor, we can solve this. We need more police because nothing is going to deter crime more so than seeing that cop walking the beat. I'll tell you that from practical experience. I mean, we're treating the symptom, not the disease, when you go after gun limitations and whatnot. Now, let me pose a rhetorical question to you, Dave, if I may.
Sure.
You're a criminal. Not saying you are, but imagine you were, and you're going down a block, and you know those houses for you to break into are easy pickings, but you know one of the houses on that block is armed. Are you going to go to that block, or are you going to pick another one?
Certainly not. And,
right.
And again, I mean, I don't know that anything that anybody's proposing would really interfere with any legitimate... homeowners' right to own and have a gun for their own self-defense.
There was a hell of a fight over Capelli's castle doctrine.
Right. Okay. So let's say that Capelli's right. PP ought to be able to shoot in self-defense. But I don't. And again, I mean, my role isn't to advocate here, but to understand what the issues are. I mean, we accept that there's going to be some restrictions on firearms. I mean, the Second Amendment isn't.
There already are.
Right. And I guess the question is
I say
we've already restricted the Second Amendment in a number of ways. How would, for example, limiting gun purchases to one a month violate the Second Amendment? I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anybody explain why they'd want to buy.
It's free. Well, a good point was brought up, and I do collect guns. I inherited a lot from my grandfather, who was an avid hunter. Armstrong County is very rural, and we get a lot of tourism dollars over people coming to hunt here, okay? But what a lot of makers are doing and collectors find very attractive is that the major manufacturers will come out with a matched set, okay? A Winchester rifle accompanied with the Winchester shotgun, and they're all serial numbered consecutively and engraved consecutively, whatnot. What do we do to those guys? What do we do to people that do, like me, inherited guns within the family? After my grandfather's death, am I only allowed to take one a month for 4 months?
Well,
there's a lot of holes in this legislation. And, some of the stuff that came up yesterday, I know a representative from Philly advocated ballistic fingerprinting.
Okay, that's where a slug would, in effect, carry a coating, which will immediately allow you to tell you what gun it comes from.
Well,
and Representative, we just got a few seconds left, so I'm going to ask you to conclude. Go ahead, please.
Sure. Ballistic fingerprinting, it's a great idea. However, other states have done it at great cost and found it to be completely ineffective. Maryland and New York have got no usable evidence off any of their ballistic fingerprinting. And, I'm with you on mandatory sentencing, if I can slide that in too, Dave. We have a problem getting mandatory sentence.
Jeff Pyle, I got to cut you off because we're up on a break, and I really thank you for joining the dialogue. Let's continue it sometime. We'll be right back.
Penn Presents supports WHYY and presents Gate Theatre of Dublin's Waiting for Godot, October 11th to 15th at the Annenberg Centre for the Performing Arts. Part of the Gate's Beckett Centenary Festival, the tragic comedy explores the meaning of life as the tramps Vladimir and Estragon wait by a roadside for their mysterious guest. Waiting for Godot, October 11th to 15th at Penn's Annenberg Centre. For details, 215-898-3900 or pennpresents.org.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Ingrid Mattson, the recently elected president of the Islamic Society of North America, the largest Muslim organization on the continent. She's the first woman, the first convert, and the first native North American elected to the position. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 here on WHYY 91 FM.
Next time on Day to Day.
Who's that walking around here?
Fats Waller was a far better pianist than most people knew.
He was a brilliant entertainer, and sometimes the wonderful musicality of what he was doing kind of got lost.
Now a new CD collection tracks his incredible legacy.
Remembering Fats Waller next time on Day to Day.
Be sure it's true when you say I love you.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
A lie, what I say.
And welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Dave Davies in for Marty Moscoen. Our topic for the remainder of the hour is, can lawmakers in Harrisburg do something to help stem the tide of gun violence in Philadelphia, and is gun control part of the solution? Earlier in the show, we heard from Brad Bumstead, a veteran Capitol reporter for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. We heard from Mary Wolfe. She is the Republican mayor of Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and she joined those seeking gun restraints in Harrisburg Tuesday and Wednesday. We just heard recently from Jeff Pyle. He is a Republican state representative from Western Pennsylvania, clearly opposes any further restrictions on gun purchases and carrying. The remainder of the hour is yours. We want to hear what you think about these issues. The number is 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. And as we go to the calls, I just want to say that I know feelings are strong, passions run deep on the issue, and many of you may have long speeches to make, but I'm going to ask you to give us the condensed version of your thoughts or questions so that we can get as many people on the air as we can. Let's go to Marty first. He's with us from Oakland, New Jersey. Hi, Marty.
Good morning. A very interesting program.
Go right ahead.
Okay, I have two quick points. Number one, 1964 was the year that they first began to write these gun laws in earnest. And I cannot emphasize this enough. In 1964, this country had no gun laws and no crime. Today, there are 50,000 federal and state gun laws on the books, and we have a national crime emergency, which proves that for 42 years, the anti-gun gang has been barking up the wrong tree.
Okay, what's your second point? Yeah, go ahead.
The government has known for years that 60% of all violent crime is drug-related, and since our government has neither the stomach nor the common sense to execute drug dealers, we can all look forward to 100,000 gun laws and even more crime. And if I could respond, you know, this nonsense about one gun a month, does anybody really believe that drug dealers go to gun stores to buy a gun legally?
Okay, thanks for your thoughts, Marty. I mean, and just as a point of clarification, I mean, the one gun a month law is aimed at straw purchasers, people who are prohibited from buying guns because they're a convicted felon, getting somebody who has a clean record to go in, buy 10 or 15 guns, and then hand them to the felon where he then sells them out of the back of a car. The notion is that one could, if you restricted purchases to one a month, you could slow the tide of those illegal guns to the criminal community. It's been done in three states. Results are mixed, but folks believe it could help here. Let's go to Mike from Cherry Hill. Mike, you there?
Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, hi. Go ahead.
This issue begs for perspective. The fellow earlier and the state senator from Western Pennsylvania clearly are gun lobby advocates, which is their right. But you know, I have been in healthcare all of my life, and I really understand how gun violence impacts each and every one of us. Tragically, it impacts those who lose family members, but we are all paying for the cost of those who are shot and survive. And the reason why there are 50,000 gun laws is because the Congress has failed us historically in administering good uniform gun regulations. In New Jersey, as people who have read the Philadelphia Inquirer the last several months realize that in New Jersey it's impossible to go without a background check and a waiting period, or what we call a cooling off period in New Jersey. That is, you shouldn't be fired in the morning and then be able to go get a gun and come back that afternoon and shoot up your office. So cooling periods, waiting periods, background checks all serve a useful purpose. In Pennsylvania, none of that exists. The Bush administration has been squarely in favor of gun lobby efforts to repeal the Brady Bill and the assault weapons bill. So, yes, there are 50,000 gun laws on the books because Congress has failed us to put good uniform standards in place.
Okay, Mike, thanks for your thoughts. That's Mike from Cherry Hill. I'm going to go next. And we do have a couple of lines open if you want to get in the conversation. It's 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We mostly want to hear from you, your thoughts about whether the efforts in Harrisburg are going to get us anywhere in terms of stemming violence in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, whether gun control is a part of the package, whether our legislators, whether the governor is doing enough on this issue. We want to get your thoughts, and we're going to go next to Diane. She is from Wayne, Pennsylvania. Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, I just I want to mention that I was in Harrisburg on Tuesday because I'm the director of Ceasefire Pennsylvania, which is one of the organizations that has been supporting the efforts in Harrisburg and the efforts to achieve meaningful gun regulations. Hold on, I have a thing caught in my throat.
Okay.
But anyhow, so I was there, and I thought it was a resounding success because the Committee of the Whole is a day where people get to vote yes or no on a bill, but it doesn't count, and they still have to go back to their committees and take votes on record about the various legislation. But the fact is, here we all are, many radio stations, many newspapers, many communities, talking about gun violence in the state of Pennsylvania and thinking about what we need to do about it. So I view this event as a complete success, and as do I think many of the people, if not all of the people who were involved with it.
Well, Diane, hang on just one second. While I let you clear your throat, let me just follow up for one second, because I think, you know, people who are involved in expressions of activism often get a good feeling from having their say. But I don't know if you've listened to the whole show, but from Brad Bumstead, our Harrisburg correspondent from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and from Jeff Pyle, and maybe he's not a fair sampling, it doesn't sound like the people who need to be moved were moved. What gives you hope that some things might be different now?
Well, you know, you can't move a legislature in a day. And as we've always said, this was going to be a very long-term project to change the dialogue about guns from gun control to gun violence prevention in Pennsylvania. But, you know, that was what I heard somebody talking about yesterday on the radio, rather than gun control. We're, you know, staying, keeping our eye on what really counts, which is preventing the loss of countless lives that we have the potential to save.
Okay, Diane, and if I can just interrupt, because I do want to get other callers in here, but one of the things that interests me about, you know, about this issue and the politics of it is that, you know, we heard Jeff Pyle, the Republican legislators, and others say we need more cops. I wonder if those of you who seek more gun controls can build an alliance and say, let's get both. Let's fund more police, more prison space, more parole officers, and enact gun controls.
Well, that is what we're saying, and that certainly was the message on Tuesday, that we need these three things, because one, to the exclusion of any other, will be ineffective. I mean, we have to give police the tools they need, and we have to strengthen communities, and we have to also do something to stop this tremendous market in illegal guns that thrives in Pennsylvania. You know, when Representative Pyle was talking about the drug problem that he sees in his community, you know, I spent many years as a prosecutor of crime in New York City before I moved to Pennsylvania. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that gangs are bringing drugs into Pennsylvania is because they have an incentive to move here, which is that it's very easy for them to get guns to arm their criminal drug dealing networks all over the place. I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer.
Okay.
And that, you know, we need to make it less economically inviting to gun and drug traffickers to be in Pennsylvania. And okay. I think that you can do that with one handgun per month, which, you know,
Diana, I got to cut you off just because we had a lot of people and we've spent a while here. So I really appreciate your calling in and thanks for your thoughts. I'm going to go to Mel next from Phoenix, Arizona. But before we get to Mel, let me just give out the number once again, 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Welcoming your thoughts on what will make a difference in terms of gun violence in Philadelphia and other communities. Mel, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Look, the way I see it is that you could enact all the gun control laws you want, but at the end of the day, no criminal is actually going to believe in those gun control laws, and he's not actually going to go into a shop and say, well, I need to fill out all this paperwork to buy a handgun or, most of the time, the automatic rifles. So,
Mel, let me just, in the case of one gun a month, it's not a matter of the criminal not having to fill out papers. You just can't buy them. I mean, when you get your friend,
right,
who's you know, you just, you're not going to be able to.
The ordinary citizen can't buy them, but what makes you think that a criminal will go and buy a handgun? Most of the time, if they're part of some kind of a drug cartel, they have enough money to, they're probably getting guns from abroad or wherever it is that they get their guns from. They're not buying those guns legitimately. They're mostly buying those guns or abroad and importing them in whatever fashion they do it.
Well, they get a lot of, but one of the things that law enforcement folks here say happens is that neighborhood gun dealers, and a lot of times we're not talking about sophisticated criminals, we're talking about 16-year-old kids who want to carry a piece in case they get insulted or to protect their drug corner. But one of the things that law enforcement folks here say that you see is very common is that people with a criminal record who are not legally able to buy a gun get a girlfriend or a wife or a friend who is with a clean record to go into a gun shop, buy a dozen MAC-10s, then they give them to the criminal, he sells them out of the trunk. And with one gun a month, you just couldn't do that. So wouldn't that...
Right, but what is... I mean, has anybody done an actual study and said, well, how many of these guns actually come out that way versus, you know, people who buy them or drug lords who just distribute them because, they do it for the sake of doing it because they want to manage their drugs or whatever.
Well, you know, I mean, there are a lot of studies, and some question whether, I mean, it's happened in three states, and there are studies that question that it makes a lot of difference. On the other hand, Virginia, when they went were sort of the gun warehouse of the East Coast, and then in 1993, when they did one gun a month, authorities all over the East Coast saw a lot fewer guns from Virginia. And I think the advocates say, well, if we did this in a lot of states over time, you might have fewer guns. Yeah, big drug cartels will find guns, but maybe
right. You
wouldn't have quite so many in neighborhoods. And I guess the other question is sort of, what's the harm in trying? I mean, does anybody legitimately...
Well,
really?
A lot of gun laws have been tried, but, you know, the crime rate still keeps going up, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the Brady Bill, right? And a normal citizen could go and buy a gun and have to go through all the paperwork and, you know, the screenings and whatnot, but he could turn around and sell it to somebody and not have to go through any of that. So, you know, there are gun laws that have been enacted which are totally useless and don't work.
Okay. So you got no time for this approach. All right, Mel, well, thanks for your thoughts. I appreciate it. And thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling in from Phoenix. Let's go to Anastasia from Philadelphia. Do I have it right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was really thought when I heard Jeff Pyle talking about his grandfather's gun collection, I thought the people that are involved in the conversation in Western Pennsylvania, they kind of have lost the humanity in the debate. I think people who are local need to be involved, like the police, the teachers, the families.
You mean local here in Philly? You mean, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Where the
crimes are actually taking place.
Yeah,
I think the root of the reason, the need for guns and all of it that's going on in the communities, we have to address that. They come from that instead of, you know, people trying to figure out, they're losing the humanity in the debate.
I think you're right. I mean, there are, you know, deep human impacts and moving stories to be told. I mean, I guess the problem is that those in Harrisburg have the power to pass or not pass laws, and so it seems we need to deal with them.
And when you hear somebody talk about how they don't want to lose the right to have the twin to some gun manufacturing, you think, oh my God, this guy is not even thinking about the poor mother who lost her son or the people that are on the street who are trying to make a difference and trying to make your
yeah.
community safe. I mean, I live in the inner city, and we have policemen that know the children. They talk to the people.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. And somebody's kid who's getting seduced into a questionable behavior because, you know, they're stressed, their father's an alcoholic, whatever their problem is. I mean, you have to come at it from the cause and have
okay.
more empathy for the people, the real players in the real story.
Well, I appreciate your calling in, and
yeah.
maybe events like in Harrisburg will bring those stories to people who need to hear them. Thanks so much for calling. Let's go
All
to,
right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Let's go to Joe. He is from Philadelphia. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I'm from Philadelphia, and I'm not pro-gun or pro-drugs or pro-violence, but the Second Amendment was written for a damn good reason. It's up to you to defend yourself. We can't expect the police to come rushing out and stand in front of our houses. God bless America, and God bless that law. I have a neighbor who's a police officer and a fellow across the street. He has a firearm, and I feel better because they do.
Right.
I'd like everybody who can hear me talk right now, buy a gun. Protect yourself. Don't let these people take your only ability to defend yourself away from you. Look what happened in Florida.
Hey, Joe, let me just interrupt because I think, you know, it is a fair point that people have a right to defend themselves. When I grew up, my dad had a 12-gauge in the house. But I guess the question is, what do these laws – I don't see how they would interfere with anybody's legitimate right to buy and own a gun for self-defense. I just don't see how they would impact it at all.
May I answer that?
Yeah, please.
It's not going to stop with just one gun a month. They don't want you, these people, this politician from that little town. She's trying to get herself elected, of course, and anything you say against guns sounds real good. You can bet she has a gun. You can bet her bodyguard has a gun. You can bet when she calls, when she picks up the phone, they come with guns.
So you think a little law leads to a bigger law and more laws, and then they're taking them out of your house?
They have no intention of just stopping you from buying. Who the hell wants to buy 12 guns a month? Nobody in their right mind would buy 12 guns a month.
But if you
now,
pass
the
law, you're saying
talking
that
about, he has a gun collection. Certainly.
Okay.
It's from his grandfather. Let that man, or he wants to buy a matched set. They don't even shoot these damn Winchester rifles. I couldn't afford one. They're gold-plated. Let him buy two guns. But that's not where they want to stop. And if you can hear me, Philadelphia, buy a gun before these people take
yeah,
them
Joe,
over.
But maybe some people do want to take the guns out of your house, but don't you have to kind of trust the Democratic legislative process to have people draw a rational line? You can, you know, we restrict
so there's a fine rational line. There's plenty of federal laws. There's plenty of federal laws. It's
okay.
a mandatory 5-year prison sentence if you commit a crime with a firearm.
Okay,
a
you know what?
Jerry Hill said,
Joe, I gotta let you go because we are finished. We're just out of time, and I know a lot of people had other things to say. Drop us an email if you like. The email address is radiotimes@whyy.org, and I'm sure we will come back to this issue. For Marty Moscow-Wayne, I'm Dave Davies. You're listening to Radio Times. This is WHYY-FM Philadelphia, your member-supported news and information station serving Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available voice-activated navigation. More at acura.com/RDX.